Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Alex Beck, and joining us on the show is Edwin Garcia from Pure Training Studio out of Mariposa, California. What's going on, Edwin? Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me in. I'm excited to chat, learn, and offer. So
yeah, brother, excited to have you on and hear what you have going on. I threw the accent on for your city right there. So, but let's not waste any time here. How did you get started? What is it that made you want to start with owning your own fitness facility?
Well, so our story is a little unique because we had an established business that we purchased that some local folks who grew up here started this gym community that I was a member of for 8 years. And then as they moved on, you know, they were looking for good stewards of really their baby, right? Their thing that they had created and their culture and community, as well as their brand. And it just so worked out that, you know, my wife and I were able to get that done. And just personally, you know, I'm just a guy that wandered into the high school weight room at 12 years old, sixth grade, right? And told the varsity coach I was gonna be on this team one day, and was able to play college football and then coach at the college level. And I ran the weight rooms and all the jobs I had, and, you know, ran some marathons, and my wife been doing yoga and capoeira forever. And so just this really dynamic background as far as physical fitness and body awareness, learning the business side as we go, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people get into the fitness industry with a, you know, passion for helping people, changing lives, and they kind of forget that there's this whole business side of thing that you also have to be good at, right? You have to be able to, you know, get new members into the facility and sell them and then keep them, you know, and so forth. But cool. So you just acquired this facility about 2 years ago. Now I would love for you to give the listeners your own elevator pitch of Pure Training Studio and the services that you guys offer.
Sure. Yeah, we did. That's right. We bought a little over 2 years ago. So it was an interesting time to become a small business owner, but what we've been able to maintain and build upon from that original purchase. You know, we have free weights in the building, assisted lift, cable machines, a lot of cardiovascular equipment. We just bought a set of new ellipticals with the articulating on handles. We have some with the static mounted ones. We have spin bikes and spin classes, group fitness classes. Our series would be called Body Tone for a little more of that full body workout and tone and strengthen. But we also have these yoga classes that go from quite challenging to really therapeutic and restorative. We have TRX. We have a TRX monument, it almost looks like, but we have this thing that was created outside that some local folks that welded it for us. So we really try to get everything in one spot. We have a nutritionist on staff. We provide personal training services. And even at times, I led like a meditation just kind of group conversation group for 5 years as a member as well as the owner. So we try to do that traditional gym fit thing here, but definitely with some more expansive and inclusive opportunities for folks that, you know, aren't the gym rat. So
for sure. And you're offering kind of like a whole one-stop shop here. I mean, you're doing everything from group training to private training, nutrition, accountability. You do an open gym 24/7 model. That kind of leads me to my next question about how many members are you currently serving right now?
So right now we're running between 70 and 80 monthly members. That number has definitely been larger in the past, but it's really, we're meeting a bottom resistance at that level. We have this really good core group of members that have been here forever that have been retained, yeah. I think by what we're doing, but also by their own commitment. And, you know, we kind of between that 70 and 90 over the last year and a half, and would really love to expand and get to a nice core of 90, 100 the next year and a half.
Cool. Awesome. And so you're sitting at about, you know, 70 to 80 members. I know you are trying to see some rate of growth at some point. What's like that number for you to where that goal number of membership that you want to get to?
Well, so again, having been a member forever before buying the place, there was this time where they were probably running at about 125, 130. Okay. And while that is wonderful for paying the bills, you know, the parking lot was full. You couldn't park. You couldn't get on a machine. You had to really be skillful in when you visited the building. I think that number of 100 to 110 serves everyone really well. It would give a very dynamic, vibrant community of support to people when they come in. They'll see friendly faces that they recognize, but they'd also be able to get on the machines and get in and get out and get their work done.
Yeah, and a game changer in revenue too, right? I mean, if you an extra 20 members at more of a high ticket price, which is what I'm assuming you guys are around considering everything that you offer, you know, that's the difference of, you know, paying rent and not paying rent, of being able to save a couple extra grand to eventually maybe move to a bigger facility and not being able to. So for you, what kind of things are you actively doing right now to aid that growth process?
Sure. And you hit the nail on the head there. You know, we have our eyes on trying to get our own commercial space where we're not paying rent anymore and where we can then become more liquid and hold space for that 100. Now to get to that 100, you know, right now for the month of June, we're letting folks come in and join for free without a commitment or an obligation. So they just put the card on file and they get their fob key. They check us out for a month or 20 days, whatever's left right now. Go to the classes, use the childcare, take advantage of the opportunities that are within our building. And if it's not something that's bringing value to them, or there's a better option, or their life just doesn't allow them to get to the building as much as they would like, well, then they've tried it for 20 days and they were able to cancel, and it didn't cost either of us any stress or any money, right? But we have found in the past that using those types of promotionals have gotten people in the building who we've been able to retain, and then those people have friends.
For sure. And how are you getting the word out about this offer, right? About, you know, free month of June. How are you getting the word out to, you know, the people in your area so that they show up and come to your facility?
Sure. So since we are a small mountain community, right, a lot of folks know us personally. So just holding those conversations, but putting flyers out in the buildings where we have a lot of overlap with the social circles and complimentary, right, the health food store, we're health and wellness. But then we've got a very active Facebook platform, Instagram platform. I am on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce in Mariposa County. And so as such, I'm a paying member. And with that, you get access to their platforms. So you're getting listed in, you know, tourism magazines and stuff like that, cool, as well as their online presence. And, you know, lastly, we sponsor, you know, Little League teams. And I just cut a check to sponsor a soccer team. And so you get your name splashed on the back of a jersey. Yeah. You get a big, basically a billboard with your logo and name on there. And so you get eyes on, you know, folks become aware that you exist, but you're also, you know, to me, that's better than, and newspapers are small businesses too. So I don't want to slight them, but to me, that's better than running the newspaper ad, because you also get kids a chance to do something, right? You're providing value, you're providing opportunity, and getting those eyes on at the same time. So
I agree. Word of mouth, community outreach, referrals is super important in general, especially like you said, building that baseline of membership, you know, having a steady number of members that won't ever leave because they believe in proof of product, they believe in the product you're giving. You know, it is proof of product that they're willing to refer people, you know, invite friends and family over. But even me, like the bad thing that I'd say about referrals, word of mouth, even paper advertising, radio advertising, is that it's really hard to track, right? And not only hard to track, but it's hard to scale, because like, even though, let's say last month you were able to get 5 to 10 new members in off word of mouth, off community outreach, it's hard to gauge that and hard to plan, make a game plan for growth based off that, right? Because although you know, last month you grew, you got some members in. You can't plan that to see the same consistent rate of growth in the coming months ahead. Have you ever tried anything like paid advertising, digital ads, Facebook ads?
So, I had the same thoughts about not being able to track or quantify that the value that we're getting in those endeavors. And that's very true. I would just add that, at least with the sponsoring of teams and stuff, it's that intrinsic value, you know, to your community. What we have done is there's like these electronic reader boards that another small business in the region does. It's up in the grocery store. It's up in the pizza place. It's up in, you know, all the local haunts, and you can buy ad space up there. And he has done a very sleek, great job of presenting, you know, bullet point info along with some really cool images and stuff. And so we've done that. I believe there's value there. We were definitely using that as a platform right before the shutdown. And again, hard to quantify, but you'd see people and they'd say, "Hey, I saw your ad, you know, when I was online at the grocery store," and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we appreciate that and are probably going to step back toward being into that space, but we haven't done so recently.
Yeah. And no, I mean, it's totally important to have your hands in a little bit of everything, just like, you know, sponsoring little league teams, soccer teams. I just, in my perspective, at least it's hard. You can't scale something you can't see the numbers off of, right? And digital marketing has just changed the game for so many gym owners, and giving them, you know, a lead generation system and being able to, you know, with the flick of a button, turn an ad on and off. Once you figure out, you know, a good front facing offer to promote online, once you figure out your target demographic, you could use the same ad for, you know, up to 2 years. So it's kind of like, you know, turning the button on and off, choosing how much money you want to put in, depending on the amount of leads you want to get. And so it is a game changer in that respect. Have you ever thought of diving into that direction of, you know, maybe trying to run some type of digital or paid advertising?
Yeah, so we've done, you know, through the Meta platforms, right? The Facebook Meta platforms, the paid advertising that's targeted to whatever within the certain miles or certain age groups or the gender specifics. I have recently, in the last couple of weeks, really started looking at the Google targeted ads. Starting to think towards those ends. I haven't used it yet though, and you know, I appreciate what you're saying, because I'm sitting here going like, yes, this is the part where I said I'm excited to learn. These are areas of growth that I think that would be really beneficial for someone like myself, who's, you know, kind of in this more rural environment where, you know, we're really focused on that word of mouth and those eyes on in physical, in the same.
How small is your city? Just curious.
Well, check this out. So this whole county, Mariposa County, which was a history lesson, which was part of the Fremont land grant back in the day. It's like the third largest geographically. Like, it's a huge amount of space. And so the whole county has 17,000 people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the town is not large.
Not large, but not too small either. I mean, literally, I mean, I was talking to someone a couple of days ago. They lived, I don't even know, I'm not going to botch the name. I think somewhere in like Ohio or something ridiculous, sure. Not ridiculous, but they had like, you know, 9,000 people in their little city, and they're able to pull in, you know, 5 new members a week through running Facebook ads. And they're like, dude, I was tripping. Like, I didn't think that I could even reach people in my small city, you know? So it's really crazy how like the internet connects people these days.
And that's amazing. And so, you know, the Facebook thing for us up here is like huge because of the age demographics of our community. Also, that's like the platform most people are on. Right. And I just ran one for 5 days and 2,400 views, right? Cool. And you know, whatever, it was like 115 engagements. And I got 2 conversations. And I signed up one of the 2 and I'm waiting to get a hold of the other one. Right. And so, you know, what did it cost me? It cost me $25. Right. So if I can get 1, great. Right. If I can get 2, great. And when you look at the metrics as it, on a macro level, and you're like, man, 2,400 people, and I only had 2 conversations, it can seem like a bum out, but the fact of the matter is I had 2 conversations more than I would have had if I didn't do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so,
and another fact is that it takes, you know, most people will have to look at your ad three separate times before they finally click on it, right? So you know, it's kind of like getting the ball rolling in a sense. Did you boost your posts when you ran ads, or were you running it through the Facebook Business Manager?
So the most recent one I did not boost. In the last couple of months, I have boosted a few.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I keep doing it because there is value. Like I do get some conversations. I do have some people who will tag other people in the post, right? They'll see it, they'll get eyes on, and they'll tag someone who wasn't in the targeted audience, let's say. Yeah. So you're getting like ripple effect of value there. At least, I mean, if it's not a huge effect on the bottom line, it's affecting, as you say, like those 3 to 4 views or whatever, it's affecting how many people even know you exist.
Right.
And then maybe they see you there, and then maybe they see you at Johnny's soccer game, and then maybe they see you when they're standing in line at the supermarket, and
gotcha.
Planted, right? We might as well come check it out and see what this brother has to offer.
Yeah.
And once we get you in the building, I like our chances to bring value to your life. You know what I mean? So
definitely, definitely. And you have to try, I mean, eventually dabbling into running actual like ad campaigns through Facebook Business Manager by making like a pixel and stuff. That's where you could really scale and be able to get leads for as low as like $5 a lead. I talked to, you know, some gym owners. What's big across the board from what I've seen, because it's all about the front facing offer that you have, right? Because you're trying to catch these people's attention while they're scrolling and get them to click on whatever link you have. So it's all about, you know, what are you giving them in that first picture video that's going to make them click? And what I've seen is a lot of people running transformation plays, transformation challenges, you know, 6 weeks, lose 20 pounds, 6 weeks, gain 20 pounds, stuff like that. Some people say it's cheesy and they don't like running the transformation plays, but then it's like, hey, sometimes you have to be business minded and, you know, do the things that's gonna, you know, bring the most value to you as well. Right.
I like that. No. So, and that's a thing that, the previous owners had done, right. That even though I was already in the building, I was like, let's go. Like, I want my star on the star chart, right? Like I'm gonna come every day and do the, what it, you know, whether it was like 30 minutes on the rowing machine or whatever. Right. And so that also, I think, recharges and brings more value to the existing membership, right? When you do those transformation plays or those challenges, if you will, or those, let's train to go do the Spartan, or let's train to go, you know, do this hike through in Yosemite, which is in our backyard. Those are some great ideas, again, that is a space for us to explore and, yeah, and try to inhabit and grow into, because we haven't really been doing much of that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it just gives them something to hold on to, a reason to stay, right? They're trying to get to the end of that 6 weeks. They want to accomplish their goals. And then, you know, I always tell people, as, you know, gym owners, we don't sell fitness. We sell like, we sell results, and we sell a lifestyle, right? So being able to communicate that and then provide that within your facility, that's what keeps the retention and keeps people coming back. But cool. So a question that I do like to ask here, just because I think it's a good way for you to reflect on even the past 2 years that you've been a gym owner here. But what was something that was more difficult than you thought when it came to running your facility?
Oh man. So I went in, I think, pretty clear eyed about the fact that you're going to do everything, right? And so the time investment in all of that, while it was intensive, it was something that was sort of expected, right? Now, I'm a full-time teacher. So I teach math and science, and I'm like, well, so I'm going to be able to do this accounting. I'm going to be able to, handle my QuickBooks and my taxes and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I have, been able to, but that was, a bigger, area for growth and skill and, advancement than I had anticipated. Right. So like I can get out here all day and fix a machine and take an operating system off of a different one. And, you know, personal train people, put together 20 week protocols, whatever they want, right. Get them ready for, but getting into, the ins and outs of manipulating QuickBooks, assigning things to the right accounts, we use Intuit TurboTax, like getting all of that stuff to align properly and do your, taxes and payroll and all of those things.
The stuff people don't think about.
That was definitely something that, even when we first became owners, wasn't that big of a deal, because the world stopped spinning and we didn't have any payroll, right? I just had to pay my rent and my electricity, which we weren't using electricity because nobody could go in the building. Yeah. So definitely that back house, payroll, tax, keeping things in the right categories. That was something that proved to be a little more challenging than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just like we talked about, so many things that people jump into gym owner life and then forget that all these little things really matter, like keeping track of your numbers. I you know, talk to a lot of people who maybe not have a bad stigma for tracking numbers, or they feel bad that they're not tracking the right numbers. And to me, it's just always like a point of knowing what you're doing good at and what you can improve upon, or knowing the things that are working that you should continue pushing on, right? Like if you were able to track where all your members come from and you see like, hey, everyone's coming from Google SEO or, you know, from Yelp, then it's like a pretty obvious, like, hey, let's throw some more money into this and scale this up real quick. But no, definitely, you're right. Definitely something that blindsides a lot of people, having to keep track of all these little things. Now, another question here is, you know, I know you just became a gym owner within the last 2 years here, but if you could wave a magic wand and have a magic business wand, have your business be in the exact position that you want it, what would that really look like to you?
Oh man, it's more like infrastructure. When you ask that question, in my head, I have my own commercial space that has a vaulted ceiling. We have a climbing wall. I mean, we're right outside of Yosemite, right? And like, there are climbers everywhere, and there is no climbing facility in our region at all. And so when it's raining or snowing, nobody's climbing, right? And they're getting in their cars and going to Fresno, going to Oakland, Ironworks, and some of these other amazing gyms. And so, you know, infrastructure wise, that magic wand would be, I own my own space, and we have some auxiliary stuff to, we're doing even more than what we're doing now, like having those bouldering or climbing walls, or there was a community that we were helping out also that does the silks, right? Mm-hmm. High, like trapeze type silks, right? And yeah, before, yeah. Coming in here and using our anchors and our low little ceiling. And I would like to be able to support those types of communities more. So that magic wand, I think, then brings in an entirely different demographic, right? Those climbers, they're incredibly strong and physically fit, but they're going to be out hiking and they're going to be out climbing. And then when they can't hike and climb, they're going to be working to try to keep their lights on. Well, if you provide them a space where they can work out in those off seasons, I think we get a whole new community that isn't even in the gyms yet. You know, if we can get those performance artists, those like ballet / aerial silk type communities up in here, I think we have growth potential there, because there are thriving communities in those populations that we're just not servicing because we don't physically have the capacity to do it. And the magic wand, man, we would have that space, we would have that infrastructure, and we would be even more dynamic and inclusive in our clientele.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a big fan of Alex Honnold. Do you know who that is?
Absolutely. So badass. So I show, so derail right here, but the National Geographic documentary of Free Solo, I show my students like every year, right? Because that last week before you go to summer break, you're not getting anything done anyways. I'm like, right, right. Check this cat out, right? And so yeah, I dig all those cats, man. But he's got some bigger footprint than just hanging out in Mariposa, right? Like right now, he's a he's one of the National Geographic explorers, like on staff. Anyway, so
one of the few rock climbers that's gone this much, you know. That's this critically acclaimed, you know, he's worldwide now. But cool. So what do you think is like the biggest bottleneck that you're facing right now from getting to that point of, you know, moving to the facility that you want, having the rock climbing wall, having a bigger space, getting more members? What's like the main bottleneck that you think is holding you back from that?
It's well, outside, right, and in the pragmatics of the region that we're in, there's just not a space where we could do that yet. And then this, the undeveloped spaces that we would be able to get in and kind of build our dream, we're not fiscally ready to be able to do that, right? Sure. And then internally, right, like what can I do, right? Well, you know, I haven't made that effort yet to bring the climbing community in, or to follow up with that aerial silk ballet community. We used to have, like I said, the silks people in here. We had a butterfly, but we had a local community in here also doing ballet like once a week. Okay. And I kind of, you know, to my own fault, just kind of let those people move on when they didn't need the space anymore, right? Instead of initiating those conversations of like, you know, I really appreciated having you here. How can we still support you in the future? Like, what would it look like in my space for you to still be able to use this place and have success in what your vision is for you yourselves, right? So, you know, I think it's me reestablishing relationships and having those conversations with those communities that I want to expand into when the outside fits, right? Like have that inside stuff and those relationships locked in and set up so that when that external reality can be worked, that things just click in. So
yeah. And it's important to have that big goal, right? But there's also probably a million small steps that you have to take before, you know, you move to the next step, then the next step, then the next, before you could get to that point of getting the facility you want, you know, building the rock climbing wall. Would you say as of right now, that point is pretty much kind of growing your membership to that number that you want?
Well, absolutely. Getting that membership up and being able to like increase margin a little bit is going to be helpful. You know, also trying to work the 703B and going to a small business association and looking at what those real estate purchase loans are at with the lower APR. We're probably going to wait on that given the current state of inflation. But, you know, so working those, I just wrote a grant. Right. I sit down, I write grants. I try. So working all of the avenues, like not just within your building, within your community and within your membership goals and all of that, but looking outward and saying, well, you know, I'm for me, right. My name's Edmund Garcia. My dad is Puerto Rican, right? Like I'm Hispanic, like Hispanic business owners have a subset of opportunities, right. Is for financing or whatever. Yeah. And so just looking for those opportunities, right. Looking for places where you can at least run it out there and see if you can get some more backing along those lines, in addition to increasing revenue to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. What type of things have you tried at least to increase revenue? Cause I know you're adding different services. So it's almost like you have the option, right. To have these different layers of revenue. What have you done at least to try and, you know, maybe not lower your margins. Cause sometimes that's kind of hard. You don't want to have to start cutting back or watering down the levels of your service so that the money that you're making kind of extends more. What have you done to try and increase the revenue or at least improve the margins?
So that's a great question. So we had, when we purchased the place and moved in, we had an external vendor that we used for scheduling and for billing and all of that stuff that's worldwide, right? They're best of class. And they were running about $500 a month. During the shutdown, looking around and trying to figure out best practices, you know, we went to a different vendor that we do our billing through and our scheduling and all of that. They cost me $64 a month.
Okay.
Have been same level of support, more responsive, because it's like a guy in his garage, right? I call the guy and he'll add the tab, right? Or he'll give me more functionality for what I need. So that was like, I mean, that's not an exaggeration. You're talking $400 a month saving money, right? In my pocket that, well, in the business's fluidity that wasn't there before. So looking for these opportunities to change vendors, to maybe smaller scale vendors that are still going to fully support what we're doing and be able to provide the exact same value for ourselves and our members, but reduce costs. And so, I mean, along those lines also, we have a phone and internet provider that is very pervasive in the region, and they're kind of the only game in town, and they have a price point that reflects that. And I know those people and I like them and I wish them well, but I also have Starlink in my house, right? And I already have that online for over here. So as soon as that hardware comes through, now I'm saving $50 a month, man. And when you're talking a small business in the foothills, man, $50 a month becomes $600 a year. You know, I can do more with that, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So just looking for, like I said, those as looking for new vendors for things that you're already doing that can not only provide the level of service you're accustomed to, but maybe better service and better opportunities. So that's kind of how we've been able to increase the revenue or the margin just with how we're spending our money without cutting back service or access.
For sure, for sure. And we know what you want for your business now, right, Edwin? We know, you know, you have a passion for your members. You started there as a member yourself before deciding to purchase a facility. You have a passion for changing lives, but what is it that you want from the business? What do you want the business to give back to you and your family?
Okay, so that's another great question, right? So to be completely transparent and honest, because that's all I know how to do, I mean, we pay ourselves a little bit, right, for the work that we do here. So that's not it, right? So I'm 45. I'm a public school teacher. I am looking at in 10 years and 55 retiring from teaching. All right, so I'll have a pension. The pension isn't going to get it done, right? So
yeah, inflation is going to kill every pension for everybody, cops, firefighters. I mean, yes, it sucks.
Right. So this is my retirement play, right? To be able to, and even though I'm 45, I do have a five-year-old, my only two children, my two sons are 5 years old and 3 years old. So I'm 55, man. You said for me and my family, retire from the full-time gig that takes me out of the house 12 hours a day. 10 and a half, 12 a day.
Yeah.
Because I have to travel. Do this not even full time, schedule it around, right? At that point, they're going to be 15 and 13 when young men are want to become knuckleheads. Yeah. Schedule it around being able to, I don't know, go sit with them at lunchtime and make sure they're not acting a fool, yeah, right? Yeah. So basically be able to supplement income so that I can be retired, be much more available, spend more time with my little men, and hopefully bring, you know, more structure and peace to their existence if they need it. And if not, just spend more time, man, before they're out in the world trying to navigate this stuff by themselves. And so very much trying to answer the question about my desire for myself and my family is to allow me to actually retire from the public pension job at 55, but not become a financial burden or reduce the level of lifestyle for my children while being around them more.
Yeah. And to have, you know, some type or level of freedom too. That's, you know, I think what every business owner's goal is to eventually have the business kind of run like a well-oiled machine on its own. And for you to be able to not only make money from it, but be able to take a step back, like you said, go on vacations, you know, go see your kids whenever you want, sit with them at school during lunch. So awesome. Awesome. I love it. And I think that's a pretty good place to start to wrap things up on this episode, Edwin. But before we do sign out of here, please give a shout out to your website, social media pages, just so the listeners can find some more info on you and your gym.
Sure. Well, everything is Pure Training Studio. So the website's going to be, you know, www.puretrainingstudio.com. You're going to find us on IG as Pure Training Studio. You're going to find us on Facebook as Pure Training Studio. So everything is those three words. Sometimes they're all three capitalized. Sometimes it's just the first letter, but it's going to show up for you if you go and look for that. And I appreciate your time, being able to kind of learn something and open up my eyes a little bit as into places that I definitely want to expand into as far as my own game plan. And I hope people check us out and it got something out of it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you once again. Make sure you check them out, you guys. Edwin Garcia from Pure Training Studio out of Mariposa, California. I appreciate you once again. Look forward to seeing what you could accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. As for the listeners, don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you are interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, Head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I'm here with Victor from Aesthetic Lab in New York, New York. What's up, Victor? How are you today?
Hi, Brianna. I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I appreciate it. All right. So let's jump right into the details here without wasting any time. What is it that made you want to own your own gym? How did you get started?
So basically, I fall in love with physical activity. I've been my whole life being active. And back in college, I was studying to become a dentist. So this is a big different turnaround type of business. So basically, that didn't happen in Ecuador. Situation, you know, the economy and everything changed a lot. So I emigrated to New York City to try to pursue my career as a dentist, but that obviously never happened. So since I was always active, I was like thinking, it has to be something else that I can be able to do and being passionate about it. So obviously physical activity was one. So I got deep into nutrition and bodybuilding. That was basically my gateway, my path into have this business right now. So basically I was working for a big company as a personal trainer. Basically I gained my experience through that. Eventually, since day one, I knew that the best way to grow as a professional personal trainer is to have your own business. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the first thing that I immediately came out to my head. You have to have your own business. You have to have your own business. But obviously without clients, without experience, without basically being in the field, basically the battlefield of working and having your own business, it will never happen. So I was working for this company. I became the best trainer in the company. And I started competing as a bodybuilder, men's physique for NPC. I was all over the country, South America also, competing, winning trophies, top three, top five, number one, so on and so on. I got hooked. I love it so much. But I knew that's not a sustainable way to, you know, be a trainer and competing all the time. I'm getting older and I wasn't feeling a little bit empty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you understand that part.
Yeah.
I was always training hard, always waking up early in the morning, training my clients, but something was missing. I knew that for a fact, something was missing. When the pandemic hits, basically, I got out of work and I was kind of happy for like 2 weeks. Like I took time off, competition, everything shuts down. Mm-hmm. And then after those 2 weeks, I realized, oh no, this pandemic situation is going to last a little bit longer than what I was expecting. I remember the company was telling me, you're coming back in a month. Don't worry about it. We got to let you go for a month, but everything go back to normal. That never happened. So that's when I got really paranoid because I was feeling in my body and in my head that I need to do something. And that's what actually strike back, like that little need, urge to have my own business actually strike, like, all right, this is now or never. Mm-hmm. Right. So here in New York City, the city was so isolated, it was empty. It was basically like an apocalypse just strike. And I was basically walking in the middle of the avenue, mm-hmm. looking for locations, looking for a good deal. And I remember one of my mentors who owns many restaurants in the city was telling me, this is the right time for you to start your own business. This is the right time because this is not going to last forever. You need to walk around, get a broker, get an architect, get a lawyer, get, you know, a whole team or people that works for you and basically make your business a reality. Thanks to this friend of mine, that's exactly what I did. I make some phone calls. I have a decent amount of friends, you know, in my phone book, and basically, all right, I need a broker. All right, here's the broker. You need an architect. You got the architect. I need a lawyer. You got a lawyer. So basically I put everybody in one room and basically I say, listen, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I need. This is what I want to start. Can we work together on this? Everybody agree. And then we start looking for a location. And the rest is history. You know, I'm in Soho, which is a really popular neighborhood in Manhattan. Since day one, it was a big hit. I got the location, accommodated, I have the best equipment, I have the best technology to track clients' progress. And since day one, I just called my old clients and one client, the best, this is something that I really want to advise gym owners all over the country, all over the world. If you're passionate about what you do, everything starts coming by himself. You know, for me is having a place, a studio that I can be able to train, show my passion and experience. The best, you know, everything comes, you know, easily. When I show results, clients basically spread the word and everything comes, like I said, easily. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what happened. Since day one, I just call everybody, listen, believe it or not, it finally happens. I have this place. Can you come and train again? And they respond immediately. Yes, I can. I stop by right away. Let's take a look. And the places start getting busier and busier and busier. And now I have different, obviously, obstacles like any other business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't ask for no more. I'm really happy about what just happened. I guess when you have to take advantage of the situations all the time. You know, for me, when the pandemic hits, I was a little bit, I guess, I took a break, obviously, you know, like a few weeks, but and then I was like, okay, what's next? I need to do this, what I do, what I'm passionate about. I miss training my clients. So let's see what can I do? And, right. And that's basically it.
Okay. So now you mentioned some obstacles that you're facing. So different obstacles. Yes. Now that the gym Correct. Is open and mm-hmm. functioning and the pandemic has quieted down quite a bit. So what are some of those obstacles that you're facing now within the business?
Well, I think the number one obstacle is creating a team of trainers. Mm-hmm. A good thing for me is clients and like initial consultations for newcomers, new prospect clients is never being an obstacle for me, which is great. But the problem is time. For example, me as a trainer, I'm completely booked. I have no time. I start from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. nonstop. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. But at the same time, I have more people coming in like, can I train with you? I say, actually not. You have to train. You know, like in the beginning, it was hard to get, like I said, trainers, experienced trainers that mm-hmm. actually follow my vision of training. So that's been the biggest obstacle. Right now, I have with three in total right now, amazing trainers, you know, and like I'm really happy about it. But obviously, as business grow, you have to expand the location. You need to expand staff. You need to get the real estate, the space. You have to get bigger, so you get bigger costs. Then you need to buy equipment and more stuff to accommodate everybody at the same time. Mm-hmm. Post-pandemic, a lot of people, basically, they want an open space. They want fresh air coming in, coming out. So I need to pay attention to details and obviously to keep the environment safe and clean. That's something I really know about is like cleanliness and the space is number one. Yeah. Second one is safety. You know, mm-hmm. like once they hear and they see the environment clean, my second thing is you want to achieve a certain goal. Yes. But technique is number one, you know? And that's what I am reinforced to my trainers. It's like, if you don't know how to queuing a client, okay, no problem. We need to sit down and discuss certain things, because the best way to retain clients is obviously results, but number one is not get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So it doesn't necessarily seem like you're looking to grow the membership at this time, because you're maxed out as far as how many clients you can actually take on.
Yes.
But there are multiple ways to grow a business. So it's like, we can get more clients. That's one way. We can get them to pay more by providing them higher levels of service. Mm-hmm. And then the third way being keeping them longer, because we know that it is much cheaper to keep a client than it is to acquire a new one.
Correct.
So that second level there being getting them to pay more by providing them higher levels of service. So are there any other levels of service that you are providing to the clients that you currently have, whether that be nutrition, accountability, supplementation, retail?
That's a great question. Great question. The best way to retain clients is obviously results, but at the same time, in order to offer different sources of income is technology, I believe. So I do have a 3D body scanner. Mm-hmm. Basically, I use it every client, every 4 weeks, we track your progress. So by tracking progress, obviously the clients, when they see results, when they see numbers, whatever those goals are, you want to get bigger, you want to get toned, you want to get smaller, you're running a marathon, whatever, those numbers don't lie. You know, so during that 3D body image, once you see results, I can see it in my client's eyes. They just pop like, oh my God, is that me? I can't believe in the past I was like that. And now I'm this. Sign me up for another pack, you know, immediately. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. The other component that I implement recently is infrared sauna. That is something that I really like, because the recovery component after a good session, you step into the sauna for no more than 35 minutes. And basically I like my clients to just sit down, relax, sweat, and release some toxins, lactic acid. And that's another good way to create a new service, and obviously to keep clients' retention, you know, by mm-hmm. implementing new things. I guess in the future, I'm studying, reading articles about, what is this called? The TrueSculpt Flex Machine, something that it's quite not new, but it's something that I intrigue about it. You know, mm-hmm. if I adding an addition with my program, addition with your the diet, and then you have an extra machine that help you to activate certain areas so you can train while you're training, that would be nice to add. So that would be something that I might add in the future, but it's on, you know, in the unknown for now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So as far as big picture goals go, what's the big picture goal for you? Where would you like to take the business ideally in an ideal situation?
In an ideal situation would be to keep my current location as my elite place for me and my clients and a few trainers. The next one is basically spread the word. I mean, not spreading the word, but like having a bigger location. Because like I said, the good thing about the brand that I create is basically people I have like 2 to 3 newcomers every week. I provide the initial consultation. It's an assessment, it's free. Basically we check your strengths and weaknesses. We measure your BMI with the 3D body scanner. Everything is not invasive. It's actually a really easy step. And then we start from there. The retention of those newcomers is basically 80 to 85%. So obviously I'm always over capacity in terms of like the location itself is like, it can retain new clients because the way that it's a one-on-one personal training experience, which I want everybody to have their own space. It's like a unique experience, you know. It's basically one client, one space, one trainer, you know, place is big and bright with big windows, front and back, fresh air is always flowing. So is a sense of cleanliness and obviously, you know, like a unique experience, you know. It's basically the gym is for you for 1 hour. And that's right. Something I really like. And like I said, post-pandemic, we have this mentality now of cleaning it. We're more, you know, aware of, you know, clean air. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about to have this place, you know, is to have this sense of cleanliness and everything is like on spot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, one thing that I always love to ask every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering opening their own facility or doing their own thing, what would that be? Obviously, you opened your gym kind of during a crazy time. So that I'm sure that you've learned a lot along the way.
Yeah.
So what's one of the most important things that you've learned that you think would be helpful for somebody else looking to do the same, essentially?
Basically, if you're passionate about this business, just go for it, 100%. You got to look for the best deal, study the market, check, you know, the if you have a decent amount of clients, you have to expand your business as a brand, not as a personal trainer, you know. Think big. You got to think, you're creating a brand, you're creating a system, you're creating a program. You need to scale it, you know. I think it's the best way to describe what I did here is like, in the beginning, as a personal trainer, I was thinking, me, Victor, me this, me that. No, you got to think outside that box. You can't do everything. You need to rely on people. Obviously, it's the hardest part, but it's the best way to run a business. You need to have a team. So my advice is if you like what you do and you're showing results, clients will always come. You know, that will be not an obstacle. The biggest obstacle is you need to create a team. I did it backwards, you know. So if I go back, I would like to start a team first and then the clients will arrive, you know, because for me, it was never a problem. So I guess it would be the first thing is, you need to create a team of, you know, people that you can be able to trust and like, you know, they have your back and basically you can be able to expand the business way quicker. You know, I was working 7 days a week for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And basically it was tough. It was killing me, you know, but I didn't know how to expand it. You know, first time business owner here in New York City is tough. You have to deal with a lot of you know, taxes, laws, and you know, a bunch of insurance. You know, so like it's way harder, I believe, here in the city because it's a concentrated place, it's a lot of competition, and you need to stand out. So for me, I was nervous because of that. I knew a lot of successful stories here in the city, but also really bad ones. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be the second option, like the failure. And that's my biggest fear. So I always want to be competitive. I want to be the best. And the only way to be the best is you have to be smart, you know, not a hard, you know, obviously you have to be a hard worker, but you have to be smarter than that, you know? Yeah. So you gotta, you know, obviously wake up early in the morning, get your clients happier, show results, but at the same time, you know, you have to rely, you gotta build a team again. That'd be the smartest way to do. You know, you look around, good for other passionate individuals who basically like what they do, you know, in terms of fitness. You gotta come out, you know, show them, I need to show them your vision. And basically, if the vision is good, if you actually convince them to do, they will join you and we can work together and make this brand a success. So I think that would be the best advice that I can give to those new business owners.
Right.
Who want to try this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not alone in, you said you kind of did it backwards, you know, most gym owners start out just themselves, you know,
yes, doing
everything, wearing all the hats, working all the hours. And then it does get to a point where it gets challenging to delegate some tasks and let go of some of that control and get help from other people.
You're maxed out and then you get burned out, you know? So I reached a point that I was like, I'm tired. I really don't want to open this place. I don't know what I did. I think it's too much. Mm-hmm. But and then you, in retrospect, you start thinking, wait a minute, you're tired. You just basically, you need to take a day off, reset, look around, you know, check your phone, talk to your friends, you know, for me, I've been doing this for almost 10 years as a personal trainer. So like, yeah, I was looking at my phone, like, and I remember trainers, you know, they used to work at certain locations, other ones become individual, you know, trainers working all over the city, reaching out to everybody and like, hey, listen, I got this, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about stopping by? Come on, let's work out together. Let's do this. What do you think about working, you know, over here, you know, and, you know, see what happens. So that's exactly what I did, you know, and so far I've been lucky. I have, you know, good trainers, amazing trainers, actually, and I can ask for no more. I mean, actually, I need to ask for more. Yeah, I need more
trainers. More good trainers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One of the most challenging pieces, finding the right people to help you. You know, that you know that you can rely on, that to provide that same level of service or as close as possible to this, the same level of service that you provide for your clients. That can be really, really challenging. So definitely a kind of a bottleneck that a lot of gym owners face.
Yes. It's something that, it's like any other business. It's always obstacles. It's always something to think about and just overcome those obstacles. You know, it's not impossible. It's something that it takes some time to just, you know, evaluate, think about it, and just execute it the proper way. You know, like I said, you have to, you don't have to just work hard. You have to be smarter with your decisions, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. All right. So as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Oh, right.
How can they follow you if they want to find you on social media? What are
So they can follow me on what is that? We are Aesthetic Lab. That's on Instagram. We are Aesthetic Lab. You can reach out through my email, victor@aestheticlab.nyc, or you can check my website, aestheticlab.nyc.
Perfect. All righty. So Victor from Aesthetic Lab in New York, New York. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. To all the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there and we will catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us in the show today is a duo, the two, David and Emily with Refuge CrossFit out of Alaska. What's going on, folks? How are you doing today?
Hey.
Hey, man. Good, good.
Doing good.
I appreciate you guys being here. We're excited to have both of you guys on. And before we dive into the nitty gritty of what you guys have going on at the gym, you know, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you describe the business to people and what made you guys get started in the first place?
Yeah. So back up a little bit. We moved up to Alaska, a little bit of a change of scenery. Emily had just left working as a manager of a large restaurant chain down in Nashville. I had just left law enforcement. And kind of our goal as we were getting settled up here was to start our own fitness facility one day, start a personal training gym, and kind of in the process of getting moved up here, started doing a bunch of different things, got involved with some churches locally, and getting started in personal training a little bit. But we found that we kind of were like balancing too many plates, you know, trying to juggle too many things. And they were all good things, but it was just a little bit too much to do well. So we kind of identified a need or a desire to consolidate what we were doing into like one or very, very few things, kind of pursuing our faith, doing family well, and then, you know, whatever it was that we needed to do for work. So we kind of started brainstorming like what that would look like. And so now we run Refuge CrossFit, which is a faith-based CrossFit gym. So it's kind of like we run it a little bit like a church, like a ministry, but also, you know, a for-profit business. So we have lots of opportunity to help people, not only with their physical well-being, but also just with navigating life and difficult circumstances and stuff like that. So that's kind of what inspired the start. And what brought about Refuge CrossFit generally.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. That's a great concept and the great explanation of how you described it and whatnot. I love that. And so let's dive a little bit deeper into like the nitty gritty here. And so we'll start with the bare bones basics. How many members are you guys at currently?
We're sitting about, I think, 260, 270. And that includes all of our little kids up into our seniors class as well.
Gotcha. And so let's see, I'll use myself as the avatar. I think that's the easiest way to kind of do it. So if I came in and I was like, hey folks, I'm ready to get started, I'm ready to rock, let's do it. What would I then have to pay to become a client or a member?
Well, before we let people just become members, we want them to try it out. We want them to try a class out because we want to make sure that they jive with us and they like our style of coaching and they like the atmosphere and the people. And if they have fun that day, and then we'll chat after their first experience about membership. But as far as membership goes, we do it all month to month. There's no sign up fee, there's no contract. And it's based on a couple different things. We've got like a full-time individual, we've got a part-time individual, we've got a couple membership, a family membership, and then prices for just kids or seniors or teens, college kids. I think, yeah, we kind of have something that's going to fit everybody.
So we do things, we kind of do things a little bit different up here in Alaska because Alaskans are by default, like fiercely independent. So if you even utter the word contract, most people will run out the door. So I know that's kind of counterintuitive to most of the gym industry, you know, where everybody tries to get, you know, get in line with that contract idea. But we also are very, very gym rich up here. There are in our little community, there are 6 CrossFit gyms. And we're not a big community. We're, you know, in the tens of thousands of people, in the larger community, the greater Mat-Su Borough area, you know, it's somewhere above 100,000 people, but not much more than that. So we kind of have to, you know, make sure that we've got decent offerings for different things so that, you know, people want to come to us versus the other 5. And all of us, all 6 of the CrossFit gyms specifically have, you know, a little bit different flavor up here. They're all great. We all kind of diverged from the same group of coaches and stuff over time. But yeah, and then there's like number of other, you know, more traditional gyms. So we always like play 20 questions with people when they come in, like, hey, what is it you're looking for? You know, because we can usually tell pretty quick whether we're going to be a good fit for them and they're going to stick around. Or we'll just straight up recommend like, hey, no, it sounds like this other gym down the road is going to be exactly what you're looking for. And we have absolutely no qualms about like, hey, man, it doesn't sound like you're going to be happy here at all. Like, this is the other gym that I think you're going to really like and you're going to jive with. And we've had a number of gym owners like reach out like, hey, man, thanks for that member. Thanks for that referral. That was cool. You know? So we're really about like, you know, not only our own success, but making sure the fitness community as a whole kind of grows here.
That's awesome. That's such a great outlook to have. And I feel like not everybody can, unfortunately, look at it that way, but I think that's a great perspective. Yeah. And it really shows your care for not only just obviously your clients, but just the industry in general. And I think that's major. That's major. Really, you're in it for the right reasons. And so on the topic of clients, folks, for you guys, what has been the best practice of finding new clients?
We don't really do much as far as marketing goes. There's a few things that we do on the back end to kind of filter the action we want online or on social media the right way, just to get our name up there. Like if you were to come visit Alaska and you would search CrossFit gyms in Alaska, we want to be up in the top because that's going to get a lot of visitors, or if you just move to the area or whatever. And the way that we go about doing that is, like, if we host a competition or have any information on like an outing or a get together or whatever, it's all filtered through our website. And so we don't put that, like, we'll put a little teaser on Instagram or on Facebook, but they have to click the link and go to our website to get the information, or click the link and go to our website to sign up for the competition. And that's all going to bump us up higher and higher on that Google search. So that's really the only marketing that we do intentionally. Other than that, it's all community driven. And just getting out and talking to people and word of mouth. And it's a small area up here. So he grew up here. He went to high school up here. So we know a lot of people, and just having conversations when we're out at a restaurant or out at the park or going on a hike or whatever. And then our members do a lot for us, just bringing in their friends. And that's when we end up seeing the most retention, is when people know people within the community, they stay longer. So
yeah, we definitely, over the last 3.5 years, that was the trend that we noticed, was folks that had no prior connections to our community, they were maybe a little more hesitant to get plugged in, a little more reserved. So then they, you know, they would last 3-4 months, kind of the typical, like I'm motivated and I'm doing this, kind of time period that I saw when I was working for a larger gym, like, hey, 3-4 months of motivation. And then it kind of just trickles off a little bit unless they're really engaged. So we try and do things to capture those people's attention, and get them to where they're plugged in, get them to where they're hanging out with people outside of the gym, doing stuff together, that, you know, finding a workout buddy, whatever that is. But really the people that come in and are like, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so are my buddies. I work out, you know, doing whatever, or haven't worked out at all. Those people that already have prior community connections within our gym are the ones that we've seen, tend to stay for the long haul. So.
Yeah, 100%. I think, when you build a strong community again, like, it becomes a second home, and we all know that. And I think, not only just that, but that it shows how strong a fulfillment process you have as well, because I'm sure you guys know this, or heard it at least once or twice, that when you refer somebody, you're genuinely doing it to raise your status, right? So you guys have done such a good job at providing a service that they know they can tell their friend and be like, hey, I had a great experience here. You're going to have one too. And they know that you're going to deliver that service that they received. And at that point, it's going to raise their status in doing so. So I think that that's an awesome perspective without, like, whether you realize it or not, but that's genuinely why they do it. Now let's say traffic, leads, clients were unlimited. They would keep coming in 10, 20, 30 a day. Hypothetically speaking, how much more can you guys handle? What's that cap for you guys?
Not much, actually. So we
did at one point hit about 300, and
we were over at one point at about 315.
And I just felt like that was too much. It kind of changes the dynamic of what we're going for and what we want in our community. And so we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, that's kind of the top line. Just because people get lost if we have too many. And we don't have enough coaches for that. We don't have a large enough space for that. And I don't want people to be lost. I want people to be known when they walk in the door. And I want to remember details about their life and make sure that we touch on those and check in with them. And if we have too many people, then I can't, like, we can't remember all that.
Yeah. At one point, we actually, like 9 months in business, we had to put a stop on new members because we had 300 plus members at 9 months in. It was kind of crazy. Like when we, you know, coming from another gym, we thought we knew what to project as far as memberships, but like, you know, we had it kind of all mapped out. Like month one, we were going to, you know, we were hoping to have like 20 members by the end of month one. By the end of month two, we were hoping to have like 35 members or something like that. By the end of month one, we had 100 members. By the end of 9 months, we were capped for memberships. And we actually, like, people would contact us and they're like, hey, I heard you have a wait list, but, and we did at one point, we had like a 75 to 80 person wait list for almost a year straight. And we would just, you know, when somebody would leave and we were like, okay, well, we can bring on another person. We would call somebody up and like, hey man, I know you've been sitting on the wait list for a couple months. You still interested or did you find somewhere else? It was incredible. Like people were just like, no, I've been working out at home, like getting ready, waiting for you guys to call. I'm in, when can I start? You know? Floating right around under 300 is really our sweet spot for our space. More than anything, we've got, you know, two bathrooms and we do offer childcare. And once we got over that 300 mark, we started noticing a tendency to have like too many kids floating around. The reproductive systems in our community are very healthy. They're doing good. So there are so many children, you know, which is a part of what we do. We definitely serve families. And we love, you know, we have kids ourselves and we love, having the kids around and, you know, our kids programs are a ton of fun and usually pretty rocking. We usually have a bunch of kids in our classes and, our kids classes. So yeah, kind of about, you know, sweet spot's about 300, unless we had a function built space that was a little bit, you know, just set up a little bit different, a little more intentionally. But with building costs the way they are in Alaska, at least, that is not happening right now.
Completely understandable. But I mean, wow, it's cool. So, I mean, you guys been through it, you know, and you guys, you know, the business better than anybody. So I think obviously you don't want to jeopardize the client experience just for financial gratification, which is always the biggest thing. You'll have the LTV of the clients increase by just giving them a better experience and not always constantly trying to get to like 10,000 members or whatever. I mean, obviously exaggerating.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean. And so let's take a step back from clients and jump into the leads here. So talk to me about the client journey, right? So someone who is interested, maybe I'm on the waiting list and whatnot, and I'm interested in signing up. But I want to find out more information, right? So walk me through what the person who goes from being interested to then being sold a membership to then being onboarded would experience.
We've tried a few different things and it's tricky. It's tricky with limited hours, limited space, to find what works for us. So right now, what we're doing is if we bring somebody on, they jump into classes and we just make sure that the coach that is running that class is aware that they're a new person. And so we give them a little more individualized attention while still managing the rest of the group as a whole. And then we spend a lot of time on the back end after the class is over, chatting through questions and helping them process and understand more things. The rest of the crew in the class is really helpful as far as where things are and stuff like that, and just welcoming in that situation. We've tried some onboarding classes. We've tried running like a 3 to 6 week program a couple of times a week. When we did that, it was really helpful. And I feel like a lot of those guys felt way more confident in jumping into classes and not overwhelmed or insecure or felt like they were just being watched, how a lot of people can feel when they start. but we just don't have the space for that. We have one functioning gym space. And so we tried to do that alongside another class at the same time. And it just, it was kind of chaotic at times, but yeah.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, like when somebody reaches out through our website or gives us a call, we try to get back to them as quick as possible and then just, you know, answer the questions they've got. But most of the normal, like, informational stuff we actually have on our website, as far as price, schedule, everything else. That way, when somebody does call us or reach out, usually they've got the bulk of the questions answered, because we don't have like a front desk staff. We are it. So we don't want to spend as much time, you know, yep, this membership costs this much, this is when this class meets, whatever. Mm-hmm. We want to try and answer and drive as much attention to that as possible. And then again, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the marketing, like that's a way to drive our you know, where we hit on the search engine list a little bit higher is like, hey, did you check out our website? That's where to go for most of those questions. So then, you know, we, like Emily said earlier, try and get somebody in, have them try out a class, an introductory class, because that's what we do. We don't have a ton of open gym times. We don't do really much individual personal training. What we do and what we are is a CrossFit gym. That's our main thing. We do community-based classes. So, you know, we like to try and really emphasize that that's the experience that people are getting when they come to our gym. And that's what people are coming for. And usually I feel like people have a pretty good understanding that when they come to us, that's what they're getting is, you know, group CrossFit classes. And then, yeah, just really making sure that we try and plug them into the community, give them the tools and resources like, hey, this is how you RSVP for classes. This is how you log your workouts. This is where you give people fist bumps for their workouts and leave comments and whatever. And really trying to integrate people into the community.
I love that. I love that. I think I just thought of the emphasis of the community and culture is so strong. You know, it really goes to show what you've built is truly, truly solid. And I think oftentimes people lose sight of that for the wrong reasons, of course. But I think being that you're in it for the right reasons, you can't make it up. It's, you're genuine, you know, and you can see it and you can feel it. And I'm sure your clients feel it 100%. So that's awesome. And so here's a little bit of a longer winded question. But definitely a great question to kind of self-reflect, you know, almost put yourself in the interview seat and interview yourselves in a sense. So if you need to repeat anything, by all means, just let me know. But definitely a great question in itself. So in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three pillars of business we use pretty predominantly. And that first one's going to be your lead generation, which is your marketing, your client acquisition, which is your sales, and then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
That's a good question.
What were they again?
There's the
lead generation, which is your marketing.
Okay.
And then the process after, which is your client acquisition, which is a sale. And then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So ascending them in other services.
Ooh.
You know, I think that we've, because we grew as quickly as we did, and we do get as many referrals that, like by word of mouth, we haven't done a lot of intentional, like, you know, lead generation, you know, kind of efforts or anything like that. And usually, like I said, when people come in, they have an idea of what they're looking for, and they already generally have answered all those questions. So we haven't had to put a lot of effort into, you know, like turning a sale, and we almost never have to convince people that they should get a gym membership, which is really awesome, because, you know, where I worked before, a lot of times when I would help at the front desk, it was like somebody comes in and I'd have to like convince them that this was a good investment. Whereas we're incredibly blessed to not have to be salespeople. Cause that's, and that I think is one of the distinctions between us and a number of other, fitness professionals is we legitimately just like to and want to coach. And that's kind of more our passion than driving our business to be like this massive, you know, fitness juggernaut or anything like that. You know, there's areas that we want to grow and things that we want to do a little bit differently, but we aren't necessarily looking to, you know, be masters of sales or anything like that. And by default and kind of the way that it's worked out, we haven't had to, which is nice for us because we're not having to do something, you know, that puts us in a spot that, we're behaving in a way that we're not, you know,
But I think because of that, we've gotten, we could get better.
Yeah, totally.
Like if it, you know, if things shifted within our situation and we needed to get more members, that's probably where we would have to challenge ourselves more and grow more just to kind of, get those leads coming in, because right now we haven't had to put a lot of work into that. We have a really great community support and have just been blessed in that situation, but we've gotten a little comfortable there because of that. Yeah. Right. And so if things change, then that's definitely where we'd have to be like, oh crap, what do we do next? Or how do we get these people to join? Or we've dropped 30 members this month. What has happened? We need that those numbers back in. And it's kind of with prices going up in a lot of things, it's kind of like, can we get a little more number, like members in, because we do need to make more money because prices are going up and just what's happening in the economy right now. So I think that's probably where we could do better.
Yeah, because we've
intentionally, you know,
I think we've done a pretty good job of, as the gym has grown, and then, you know, since we've settled into kind of what our top number is, really, you know, trying to improve the member experience. We're constantly trying to figure out other things that we can offer our members to kind of drive the value of their experience up. You know, obviously, not only just through experience coaching, but, you know, through different certifications and stuff. Since we started our gym, both of us have obtained our CrossFit level 2. I'm working on my level 3. Another one of our coaches just got her level 2, you know, so we're, you know, trying to kind of up our game little by little, you know, and offering more specialty classes here and there, where we can, you know, like I said, we don't have more than the one functional workout space. So we're kind of limited to the hours in the day, but, you know, like on a Saturday, every now and then we'll like throw in a, hey guys, after the 10 a.m. workout, we're going to host a clean and jerk clinic. If you want to, you know, come and pick our brains and see what we can help you with. Awesome. Let's do that. And stuff like that has been really helpful. Other, you know, community events and, just all that. That I feel like has been a little more natural for us, the retention side of things, for the most part.
Where we shine the most.
Yeah, that's where we're definitely the most comfortable. But like, you know, coming out of COVID, where we lost a lot of members, was definitely like a oh crap moment. You know, like, oh, what do we, you know, do we need to throw a bunch of money at advertising online? What do we need to do? But then, you know, once we got through that initial kind of scare of like, oh crap, we're down. You know, because we were down to like, from before COVID, 315, we lost
about 30%
of our membership or so, just because they, you know,
either going on hold or canceling because they weren't comfortable being in a large space or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
And we had a lot that lost jobs or were out of work for a while. So it was like, you know, we comped a lot of memberships just because we value people and their mental well-being. And we recognized pretty quickly, especially because Alaska, you know, it is higher statistically than most other places for suicide, because it's dark, especially in the wintertime. And, you know, a lot of people that move here from other places can feel really isolated. So we kind of put that emphasis on mental well-being and stuff. And we're like, well, you know, we understand you can't pay. Whenever you can start paying again, awesome. That would be great for us, but we would rather have you still as a part of the gym community, and be okay, you know, mentally and physically in the process. So, we did lose a lot of people, and then coming out of that, kind of looking in that initial, like I said, kind of scare moment, like, oh crap, how do we get back up to where we can pay our bills again? But it again happened pretty organically, naturally. People started, coming in, we started calling all the people from the wait list. We're like, hey, you've been on this thing for a while. You interested? Also, we won't cough on you. So it was a little scary for a bit. You know, it was really hard for us mentally, because we are, you know, an all eggs in this basket kind of gym. Like, this is our job. The two of us don't have other jobs. Like a number of the other gym owners in the Valley that we're in, you know, they have other part-time or so. There's only a couple that are full-time gym owners. So, that was kind of a real moment for us. But then we were very blessed in that people started coming in and friends started referring friends, and we've rebuilt a really solid number as far as, you know, what we can sustain financially. So,
yeah, no, I want to say one before I continue. I appreciate the honesty, transparency throughout the whole thing. I mean, I think with one discussing how you can improve, with errors you can improve, you know, just being transparent on that. And I think the fact that, you know, regardless of success, you guys still know that you can improve. I genuinely appreciate hearing things like that. And the fact that the audience, you know, might look at you guys as, wow, these guys are killing it, have a waiting list, but it's like the fact that you can be humble enough to say you can still improve, I think is amazing. And again, speaks hugely on you guys. And then secondly, with all the COVID, so I know not everybody's too comfortable talking about their worst moments with COVID, but the fact that you can talk about that as well, I genuinely appreciate that. Seriously, it means a lot. And so to kind of continue in this last question, unfortunately, because I can talk to you guys all day at this point, I think you guys are awesome. It's a good question. And I think I'm kind of curious to see what your opinions are, because it could be the same, it could be different. You know, if you guys could go back in time to when you first started the gym and you could give yourself that one piece of advice that you think you really needed to hear back then, what would that advice be for you guys?
You want to go first?
Man, I don't know. That's a good one. And that was one I knew to be prepared for.
I know.
And
it's such a necessary thing to discuss, and such a really good question, but it's so difficult to answer. Yeah, there's kind of so many routes you can go.
Yeah.
I think for me, just given my personality and how I receive things or carry things and how much I put my heart into things, one thing I've really had to work on is just to not take things so personal. I do have to, though we run it like a ministry and we put our heart into what we do, that is great most of the time, but it does get hard at times because I do care so much. And so when more personal things come up in relationship and stuff, it's hard to balance. It's hard to kind of shift from relationship to business mindset. And because it is our business, it is our livelihood. And so as much as I care about these people and I want them to be better, I also have to run my business in a way that is solid with our values and our foundations and our goals and things like that. So it's a battle to go back and forth from personal to business and kind of let those mold together and keep me sane and functioning at my best. Cause sometimes, it knocks me off my feet and I don't give my best because I'm human and I'm not always going to get it right, you know? So that's been a challenge and a learning experience, as we've gone through the last few years. It's been good. It's been successful. And we've had some really good conversations with some really close friends and some really hard conversations with clients, and, but it's all worth it. The things that we've gotten to help people through in their life because we are vulnerable, because we are real, because we are personally invested, it's all worth it. That's why we started doing what we are doing. So I'll go through all that hard stuff for the sake of these people, you know, and I'm learning too and growing too. But I think that's probably been the hardest part for me personally, is just that balance of personal versus business.
But I love it. And for you, David, I can't wait to be out there.
You know, from, I think for me, just thinking, you know, cause I'll go a little more like the business startup side of it is, I feel like we were pretty well prepared with, like, you know, we knew what our bills were going to be roughly. We knew all these different things. And I kind of alluded to the projections that we made as far as memberships, you know, and I feel like we were prepared and we kind of under projected a little bit, like, okay, what if less people come than we think will show up? Okay, let's be prepared for that. What if we make less money here because of this? Let's be prepared for that. You know, and one of the things that we preach over and over and over again to our people is like, be prepared for failure, you know, be prepared for when, you know, the stuff gets really hard and all the circumstances are, you know, piling up against you. Like, what are you going to do? Take yourself mentally there so that, you know, when those circumstances come up, when that issue raises its ugly head, you're not caught unprepared and just freeze and panic and fall apart. You know, you can actually attack that with intentionality, knowing that you've been there, you've mentally taken yourself there before, right? So you're able to succeed. But I think that is the thing that we didn't prepare for, was like, hey, what if you are more successful than you thought you were going to be? Because we were like, oh crap, 3 months in, we had to, or 2 months in, whatever it was, we had to hire somebody, you know? And we were like, we didn't think we were going to do that until like almost a year in business, hire us another coach. But we found really quickly, like, we are in over our ears with people, because as it turns out, people were looking for a gym in our area, you know, and we're pretty blatant about our beliefs, you know, and we kind of built our business on like faith, family, integrity, love, and service, kind of modeled after another gym down in Kona called Respect the Corners. They're another faith-based gym. So people just were like, I'm in, we're coming. And we were not quite prepared for that. I don't feel like we had all the infrastructure in place for the possibility that we could grow faster than we anticipated. So I think,
and we still don't.
we're still working on that. You know, but I think, you know, I've read a number of different books on gym ownership and management, and listened to a lot of different podcasts on it. And like, a lot of times people focus on like, you know, that slow, steady growth, and that's good. But like, also prepare for the what if, you know, because it's a possibility. Like, what if you are more successful than you could possibly imagine? What are you going to do? Because if you're not able to rise to that occasion, the quality of service can drop really, really fast if you're not able to meet that demand and offer an incredible service in the process. You know, people are going to be like, oh, well, this sounded cool, but it's not actually, these guys are just floundering with way too many people.
And you can tell yeah, by the quality of service that you're given, or the confidence that you carry, whether you're stressed to the max or worried, yeah, or thinking about all these other things versus coaching, you know, and yeah, being present because XYZ is happening in a good reason or for a good reason, yeah, but
stressful.
It still throws you off, yeah, because you're like, holy crap, what do we do? How are we going to get through this and still do it well?
Yeah. And that was definitely a learning process for us. And, you know, fortunately, I feel like we've made it through most of that. You know, like I said, we're still figuring out even what works for our demographic for onboarding. You know, like, if we could have it our way, people would go through a little more intentional onboarding process than what we currently have.
Yeah.
But what we currently have is what works for our community.
And our space.
And our space. So, you know, we're kind of still, you know, and we've been really blessed. Like, we used to actually live in the back of our facility. There's an apartment in the back of our gym. And that was kind of another way that we, when we were looking at building our business, we were able to blend family and business, because we do have kids. We were like, well, if we start this business, both of us working full time at it, we are never going to see our kids. So we were actually homeschooling before homeschooling was cool 2 years ago. And living in the back of the business, which was good to get the business off the ground because we were literally there all the time. Then it became like, okay, no, we need to actually have our own space. So we bought a house. We were incredibly blessed in the housing boom this last summer. We bought a house from some members, about a mile down the road, and it was an amazing process. It was good for everybody there. But that has allowed us to, you know, help another business owner kind of get himself off the ground. One of our members is a chiropractor and wanted to open his own business. So he has moved in with his business to that apartment in the back. And now is operating his own chiropractic practice. He's got a massage therapist that works for him, and he's seeing some amazing success, because of, his prior involvement in the community and stuff. And then, obviously the proximity to our clientele, definitely helps. It's really nice. But he was, you know, kind of tossing me some ideas a little while ago. He's like, hey, what if you did this series of videos for new people? And it's something we've talked about doing, like, hey, you're new to the gym. Here's, you know, the 10 videos you need to watch. This is going to give you a rundown of the different things. And we're like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's kick back to that. Let's give that a try. We had talked about it once in the past. Let's try that out. So we've kind of tried a bunch of different things as far as that initial member process goes. And like Emily was saying, the classes and, you know, like 6 week, 2 or 3 time a week intro classes and intro individual sessions and all kinds of stuff. And just given the space, and again, given the nature of what we do and what we do well is the group class, it just, so far, the thing that has lended to success the most has been just like, hey, this is the thing we do. You're jumping in and we're gonna help you feel comfortable in the process. But we're still, you know, like we were saying, just kind of still looking to improve that process a little bit and figure out like, hey, what can we do different? And kind of be better at. So
I love it, man. You talked about a mic drop. There are so many good things you said on that last part. I had so many good things that at this point I was like, I'm gonna shout out this one thing he mentioned. It's like at the end when you mentioned like getting the chiropractor in the facility and all, I was like, wow, like you guys are awesome. I mean it. But look, it's a good place to wrap things up for this episode. Before we sign out, you know, first, please shout out your Instagram, Facebook, website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you guys and the gym?
Yeah, our website's refugecrossfit.com. Pretty simple. We do a lot of updates and daily posts and stuff on our Instagram. It's at refugecrossfit. We do run an annual women's event. We're on our second year this year. It's a partner comp in Alaska here. So you can follow that at AK Barbells on Instagram. But those are the two places you can hit us up. And we're also on Facebook. What is it? Refuge CrossFit AK, I think, on Facebook.
Yeah, I think it's at Refuge CrossFit AK.
Yeah. But we're there. Awesome. We're posting often and get to see some of, you know, our daily activity up here in good old Alaska.
But yeah, if anybody's ever interested in coming up for a women's competition, we're growing that, and we've got about a little under 100 competitors for that coming up this year. Alaska's it's a pretty cool place. You guys ever interested in coming up?
It's fun.
We'd love to have more people up.
I love it. Like, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in and talk about your gym within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and your team will be touching you very, very soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.